The day is Tuesday, second day of Farm City Days. Sunrise at 7:20, sunset 4:38. A year ago, we had a high of 38 and low of 26. In 1963, our all-time high was 57. We just might break a record today. In 1896, it went down to 3 below. And now, from Lake City, is he awake? Maynard?
Of course I'm awake.
Well, for heaven's sakes, how are you?
I'm fine, Rog.
See, I heard the fellows from Lake City last night, and it sounds like a very nice farm there.
Well, this is a beautiful farm. I know all about it because I drove up here in the dark and I've seen the buildings already. Matter of fact, I wasn't sure I was in the right place, except it's the only place around here with the lights on.
Yeah? Well, you sound wide awake and all, and...
I've been rehearsing for it all night.
Is that... I suppose, yes. You had a big show last night, didn't you?
Oh, we had a wonderful time at the Lake City High School. I don't know how many people that auditorium will hold, but it was plumb full. Let me ask Dolores, how many people in the high school last night? Give us an extension guess. About 700 people, Bill Ball says.
900.
Henning Swanson, long-time adult VOAG teacher here at Lake City, said about 900 people. Why don't you come over here and get on the microphone? It'll save a lot of trouble. This is kind of like interpreting in foreign countries. You say something in the background, I got to repeat it. Henning Swanson has been here for a good many years. Matter of fact, we were classmates in college back... let's not talk about that. How long ago was it, anyway?
Well, it was quite a long time ago. I know that that's when you learned to get up early in the morning when you were working there on the campus.
Well, that's true. Most of the people in our day and age work their way through college on the St. Paul campus of the university. I wouldn't want to give the impression I was the only one that worked my way through school. Henning, tell us a little about the... shrimp farm, because I haven't had an opportunity really to get well acquainted with the boys. They're out in the barn doing the milking. We're going out and have a milking contest, Rod, a little bit later on. This is, what, 240-acre farm?
We have 240 acres here of probably some of our best soil in this area.
This is just up off of the river valley, so to speak. I drove uphill most of the way out of Lake City to get here.
That's right. These are Fayette soils, a real quick-responding soil, and this is one of the better farms in the area.
What would the crops be like this year? This has been a good year over most of our area.
Oh, we have corn yields, I suppose, running between 110 to 150, 60 bushels the acre.
This is tremendous. Particularly in this area, you'd think a little further south that over 100 bushel corn would be fairly commonplace.
Of course, it's been quite commonplace here for quite a few years, the 100
That's
bushel
right?
mark. This year it was really quite hard to find a field that wasn't over 100.
What about the soybean crop?
We don't have as many soybeans in this area as we do in probably other parts of the state, but our soybeans were running in the 30 bushels the acre range.
Mm-hmm. What about the city of Lake City? It's certainly a beautiful location right along Lake Pepin.
Oh, it's a marvelous place. There's one thing unique about this area, and that is that if the farmer decides that he might want to do a little work in town and supplement his income, or if he wants to retire from farming, not necessarily retire, but quit farming and turn it over to his sons, he can find employment in the number of industries here in town.
Tell us a little about it. I noticed that you are featuring shoes and pottery at Red Wing as I drove through the town, but I didn't have an opportunity. It was dark by the time I got to Lake City.
Well, we have a flour mill here, Tenon & Hoyt, that turns out flour for bakery purposes, and then we have Diacro, which is a subsidiary of Houdai Industries. We have a Gould National Batteries plant here and the Zero King Coat Factory and then Valley Craft. They put out carts and this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's quite a little industry in
Lake
City.
And makes for a nice flow of if someone wants to leave the farm or work part-time in town, they can find employment here in these factories.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little more about the town. The school is a beautiful school that we were in last night.
I don't want to say too much about the school because the superintendent's going to be here sooner or later this morning. And he'll give you first-hand information. But we think we have a really fine school system and a great bunch of teachers.
You have a community hospital, I assume?
That's right.
So on. How many people live in Lake City? What's the population?
About 4,000. It's a little bit hard to say because we also have Central Point, and there's no definite line between Central Point and the city of Lake City. But Lake City itself, I suppose, would be 3,500, and then quite a number of people living in Central Point, which is essentially a part of Lake City.
Mm-hmm. All right, a real pleasure to visit with Henning Swanson, who's the vocational instructor here at the Lake City High School, has been for a good many years. I don't know, Rog, if you've ever been fishing on Lake Pepin, have you?
No, as a matter of fact, I haven't.
Well, we have a fellow who is an expert in this department, Horace Abraham. He's the owner of the hardware store here in Lake City, and we're going to find out a little bit about it. I was reading Horace in the, I believe it was the state conservation paper they put out once a month, The Conservationist, that there are places here along Lake Pepin where winter ice fishing is a tremendously popular sport. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'd say winter fishing was getting to be more popular every year with all these heavy clothing and things like that now.
Mm-hmm. My understanding that they have found quite a number of catfish in winter fishing.
Yeah, this is getting to be quite a thing. The catfish school up in the wintertime, and they use a jigging hook to jig them rather than to catch them, to make them bite. And,
now, wait a minute. You lost me. What's a jigging hook?
Well, it's what they call a sonar or sonic or some type of bait that has a triple hook on it. And instead of catching them, making them bite, they just jig this hook up and down and hook them in the gill or in the belly or anywhere.
And pull them right up.
That's right. It's a lot of sport.
They use pretty good-sized ones?
Oh, yeah. They last winter, there was mudcats were caught up 25 pounds.
Hmm.
And when you get one of these on a spinning outfit, you get a lot of fun.
Yes, I can.
They do it primarily for fun, not so much for the eating of the catfish.
Mm-hmm.
Catfish are delicious eating.
What other varieties of fish do you have in Lake Pepin? Since this is a part of the Mississippi River, I would assume that there are quite a number of game fish.
Well, of course, our main fish was walleye, but we probably have the biggest variety of fish of any place in the state of Minnesota.
Northern walleye.
Northern walleyes, white bass, smallmouth, largemouth, and, of course, sunfish, crappies, a lot of crappies, or any of the other rough fish type that you find along the river.
What the southern boys call brim fishing.
That's right.
Or pan fishing.
That's right.
You've been around Lake City, I assume, for a good many years.
Most of my life.
Uh-huh. Where is the best place to fish on Lake Pepin?
Well, they say right between the two stumps. My favorite spot is at the lower end of the lake.
I always go fishing at the Little Elbow if I'm successful. Otherwise, I tell them exactly where I caught them. What do you use primarily for bait?
Well,
minnows, angled worms, live bait?
No, well, minnows are used a lot, but here there's a lot of artificial bait used. Jigs, what they call jigs, barracudas, and a lot of plugs for trolling-type fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have a big barge here that's anchored out in the lake. It's 400 foot long, 50 foot wide, that's used for fishermen. Older people go out on it and can sit on it. They take their lawn chairs along. There's plenty of room on it.
Be very comfortable.
Oh, yes. This is a... is supposed to be the most popular fishing spot in the state of Minnesota, this barge, because it's used by more people than anything that's in the state of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose a little early in the morning to go fishing right now, Rog, but...
No, but I can give
it... It's a pleasure to visit with Hollis Abram, who is the hardware store owner here. You want to ask him any questions?
No, but I'd better throw in a temperature here, Maynard. It's 45 degrees, 45, the wind south at 5 miles per hour, humidity is 89%, barometer 29.84, and steady, and the sky is cloudy. 45 degrees, and they're expecting a high today of 58.
58?
58.
How about that? That's summertime, isn't it?
In Lake City, it might approach the 60 mark. Say,
we've got some people here who are approaching that mark already.
Well, I tell you what.
Norman, he's a retired farmer. I think he's approaching the 60 mark. We're going to visit with him in a little bit. Did you remember to call South St. Paul and get the livestock estimates?
No, but I have a pinch of snooze for you.
Copenhagen. Tobacco's so good, it's too good to smoke. It starts as tiny seeds. Seeds so small that 300,000 weigh less than an ounce.
Copenhagen.
Then it's tobacco plants, spreading green leaves, soaking up a hot summer's sun.
Copenhagen.
And then it's those leaves turning dark and rich in the barns, curing over smoky fires.
Copenhagen.
Then it's time. 3 long years of waiting, while the tobacco ages itself mellower, waiting till it comes to a peak of flavor. Finally, it's a man's sense of smell and taste that tells him now it's no longer just tobacco. Now it's the tobacco so good it's too good to smoke.
Copenhagen.
Now it's true tobacco satisfaction. Just a pinch between gum and cheek gives you the satisfaction of smoking without smoking, at a price that beats smoking, too. Now it's the world's best seller in cans dated for freshness. Now it's Copenhagen snuff.
Tobacco's so good, it's too good to smoke.
If you've just gotten up, we'll tell you that it's 18 minutes past 5. CCO temperature is 45 degrees. And at South St. Paul today, they're expecting 5,000 cattle, 1,500 calves, 11,000 hogs, and 5,000 sheep. If you're wondering what's going on, this is the second of the WCCO Radio Farm City Days. And Maynard Spies, Jim Hill, and Howard Viken are at Lake City. And today they are at the Ralph and Robert Shrimp Farm near Lake City. Say, Maynard.
Yeah?
Will you tell the shrimps that their clock, you know, the chime clock?
Yeah?
It's a minute and a half fast.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't get the livestock estimate. 5,000 cattle?
Don't confuse me now. I have everything 5, in order here.
5,000 cattle?
Yeah, 5,000 cattle.
Yeah.
1,500 calves.
Yeah.
11,000 hogs.
That's a lot of hogs.
Yeah. And 5,000 sheep.
All right, thank you, Rog.
All right.
In Chicago, they're expecting 2,000 cattle, 5,000 hogs, and 500 sheep. And we're visiting here on the shrimp farm. I just love shrimp with tartar sauce. I don't know if they've got any. I'm having some coffee here, Rog, at the moment. And we're going to visit with a retired farmer here, Vernon Dahman. Vernon, you lived in this community most of your life, have you?
Yes, I farmed here all my life until last March 28th. I had an auction.
Mm-hmm. Where do you live with relation to the Ralph and Robert Shrimp Farm where we are now?
I live about 7 miles from here. I live right near the Jewel Nursery down here at Lake City. We built a brand new home there and a little barn. My wife has riding horses. That's her hobby.
Mm-hmm. What's your hobby now that you're retired?
Well, I think I'm going to take to fishing next spring. This summer I've been so busy building, helping build, that I haven't had time, but I think I'd like to go fishing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got a good guide here in the hardware store owner, Hollis Abraham. I suppose you're well acquainted with him.
Yes, I go in there lots of times.
Mm-hmm. From the standpoint of the general community around here, I noticed as I drove out quite a number... Rob Brown, will you quit dropping things all over the house? Rob Brown, who is our den mother for our little group here from CCO in Lake City, just managed to get through the door. Keith's wife's listening. I've got him picked up now. Vernon, from the standpoint of driving out here, I noticed that quite a number of signs. A 4-H club member lives here, and I would assume that... Now, this is a pretty progressive little community. A lot of 4-H club members and FFA members. I see a couple of blue-jacketed boys come through the door a moment ago.
Yes, it's a real nice community. I think it's about one of the nicest farming countries around, as far as I've been, anyway.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine you have a lot of tourist business here, and so you're going to feel quite at home being retired and a kind of half-working and half-playing, so to speak.
Yes, I think I'm going to enjoy it. I think it's the best part of my life.
Well, we've enjoyed visiting with you. Vernon Dahman, retired farmer here. It's 46 degrees in Lake City, Roger. That's the official temperature right here at the shrimp farm. Lois and Dolores went out and checked it and rechecked it, and they say that's accurate. 46 degrees, a beautiful morning here in Lake City.
Say, Maynard, would you like to sing our morning hymn?
Would I like to sing the morning hymn?
Or should we have Tennessee Ernie Ford instead?
Oh, let's have Tennessee Ernie do it. I tell you, by 6 o'clock, I'll be ready to sing.
Okay.
Oh, Lord, my God. When I in awesome consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder.
Tennessee Ernie Ford. It's 23 minutes past 5. CCO temperature is 45 degrees, wind south at 5. A high today of 58. Tonight at 8:05 here on CCO Radio, join us for a collection of the sounds of the war in Vietnam. Tonight at 8:05. Maynard, you don't want to miss that.
I beg your pardon.
Don't miss it. 8:05 tonight.
Oh, say, that's a wonderful program.
Did you hear what I said?
No. I was visiting with some of the folks here in the room, Raj, and I missed it. What were you talking about?
Oh, there's a special program on the sounds of the Vietnam War tonight, 8:05.
Yes, I'd heard that, and right. I think it will be a great program, now that I understand what you're talking about.
Say,
are we going to go to church before we do anything else? What are we doing here?
Yeah, I think we'll go to church, and then we'll have a little news right after church, and then we'll be back at the shrimp farm.
All right.
Okay? Stand by, and don't eat too much.
Okay.
Do you have rolls or anything there?
No, not yet, but I'm very hopeful. It's kind of like the fellow that asked a girl to go out to Metropolitan Stadium, and she said, well, why should we go out there? There's nothing happening. He said, wait till we get there.
All right, we'll see you later.
Okay, Rod.
Maynard Spies at the shrimp farm near Lake City on WCCO Radio Farm City Days. Maynard will be there. Jim Hill will be along a little bit later. And then Howard Viken will be doing the Viken Show. Well, Chuckle Wagon at 6:45, and then his 8 to 10 Viken Show, also from the shrimp farm near Lake City. Then tomorrow at Amory, Jergenesh at 11, Boone and Erickson 1:30 to 5. And yesterday, we want to thank all the people who were so nice to us as we were broadcasting our afternoon show from Mora, Minnesota, at the Carl and Hilda Erickson Farms. It's nice people in Mora. Nice people all over CCO land. That's why we want to get out and meet them. It's 525. CCO temp is 45 degrees.
We now present readings of the life of Christ and his church as taken from the Holy Bible. Today's reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew.
This is Moments with the Bible, reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 9. No one sews a patch of new cloth on an old cloak, for it tears off the part of the cloak all around it, and the rip is worse than before. Nor is new wine poured into old wineskins. Otherwise the skins burst, and thus both the wine is spilled and the skins are ruined. No, new wine is poured into fresh skins, and thus both are preserved. He was giving them this explanation when unexpectedly an official came up, prostrated himself before him, and said, "My daughter has just died. Please come and lay your hand upon her, and she will return to life." Jesus rose and, accompanied by his disciples, started to follow him, when without warning a woman who had been afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years approached from behind and touched the tassel of his cloak. She had been saying to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I shall get well." Jesus turned round and caught sight of her. "Have courage, my daughter," he said. "Your faith has cured you." The woman was cured that moment. Arrived at the home of the official, Jesus saw the flute players and the noisy crowd. "Leave the room," he said. "The girl is not dead. She is asleep." They laughed at him. But no sooner had the crowd been cleared out than he went into the room and took hold of the girl's hand, and she awoke to life. The news of this incident spread throughout that whole country. As Jesus walked on from that place, two blind men followed him, shouting the words, "Take pity on us, Son of David." And when he got indoors, the blind men came up to him. "Do you believe," Jesus said to them, "that I have power to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. He then laid his hands on their eyes and said, "In answer to your faith, your wish shall be granted." Their eyes were opened. But assuming a stern tone, Jesus said to them, "No one is to know of this. See to it." They, however, went out and spread his fame over that whole country. They were just going out when people brought to him a man who was dumb and possessed. The demon was driven out, and the dumb man spoke. The crowds were enraptured and declared, "Never has the like been seen in Israel." The Pharisees, however, remarked, "He is a tool of the archdemon. That is how he drives out demons." And so Jesus traveled about from town to town, from village to village, instructing the people in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom, besides curing every disease and every infirmity. One day the sight of the masses touched his heart, for they were bruised and battered down, just like sheep that have no shepherd. It was on this occasion that he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the owner of the harvest to send out laborers to do his harvesting." Chapter 10. He then called to him his 12 apostles and gave them power to drive out unclean spirits, as well as power to heal any disease and any infirmity. The names of the 12 apostles are as follows. First, Simon, surnamed Peter. Then, Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and the tax collector Matthew. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Cananean. And Judas Iscariot, the same that eventually betrayed him. This reading was from the Gospel of St. Matthew.
You have been listening to the readings of the life of Christ and his church as taken from the Holy Bible.
From studios in St. Paul and Minneapolis at 830 WCCO. It's 31 minutes now past... No, just 30. 30 minutes past 5. Better wait a minute here. Make sure the alarm looks... 5:30 alarm goes off. There it is. Everybody up. Everybody up. Here we go. Here's the news. A gun-wielding prisoner who left two Virginia deputies chained to trees near Menominee, Wisconsin yesterday afternoon was recaptured less than 5 hours later in St. Paul. Two detectives spotted the fugitive, 25-year-old Arthur Cost, formerly of Hugo, Minnesota, in a cab, forced it to the curb, and arrest him without gunplay. Cost was being taken to the Virginia State Prison when he pulled a hidden revolver on his captors, forced them to free him, and fled in their state-owned car with $550 of their money. The car is still being looked for. Some 1,500 licensed practical nurses in the Twin Cities metropolitan area will start making $37 a month more on December 1st. Announcement of the raise affecting some 20 hospitals was made yesterday by the Minnesota Licensed Practical Nurses Association and the Twin City Hospital Association. A pay dispute with registered nurses, meanwhile, remains unsolved. Controversy over the shots fired during the assassination of President Kennedy has been rekindled today on the third anniversary of the president's death in Dallas. Both Democratic Senator Russell Long of Louisiana and historian Arthur Schlesinger have called for further investigation. Schlesinger, who served Kennedy as a White House assistant, suggests that Congress establish a new commission to conduct a very intensive inquiry. Senator Wayne Morse says the only check left on President Johnson is the ballot of the American people. The Oregon Democrat told an audience at the University of Rhode Island in Kingston last night that Congress is shirking its constitutional obligation to exercise a check on the president. Morse, a sharp critic of U.S. policy in Vietnam, claims that only American voters can stop the administration's course in Southeast Asia. We'll have more news in just a moment.
Here's your Red Star recipe man coming along the back fence. Well, I wish I could stay and talk a bit while you flax around doing whatever you're doing, because I'd like to tell you about the great yeast recipes that have come in over the back fence from other good cooks all over Red Star land. Interesting recipes for yeast breads, coffee cakes, good gooey rolls. Ah, they come in, they're tested, and the ones we think you'd specially like get to be back fence recipes. It's like visiting around, borrowing a real good recipe here and there over the back fence. Find these recipes in Red Star Yeast ads and often on the Red Star Yeast packets that you buy. Watch for them. The special appealing recipes that come to you over the back fence only from Red Star.
Get Red Star Yeast at Fairway and Super Fair stores. The weather story? Well, as you know, we were expecting a little colder weather to move in today and tomorrow in CCO land. They're putting it off a day. The weather map early this morning shows a low-pressure center in eastern North Dakota. High pressure covers the eastern part of the country with a center in Maine. Another weak high is located over Idaho. And a nearly stationary front lies along the Canadian border from North Dakota westward. And early the morning temperatures in the five-state area are mild, with readings mostly in the 30s and 40s, and a few in the 20s in North Dakota. A low developing in the southwest will move to Iowa by tomorrow night, Wednesday evening, spreading rain and snow over much of the area tomorrow. And this storm will begin to pull the cold air north of the Canadian border southward tomorrow, with much colder temperatures by tomorrow night and Thursday. The forecast for North Dakota, variable cloudiness, snow or freezing drizzle north today, snow over the state tomorrow, colder tomorrow. Highs 28 to 38 north, 36 to 48 south. South Dakota, partly cloudy and mild today, but scattered rain or snow tonight and tomorrow, colder tomorrow. Highs today, 52 to 66. Iowa, partly cloudy through tomorrow. Chance of scattered showers developing in the west tonight and over the state tomorrow. Highs today, 50s north, lower 60s south. Wisconsin, mostly cloudy, windy, and mild. Chance of rain today and tonight. Changing to snow in the northwest tomorrow. Highs today, 45 to 52 in the north, 50s south. Minnesota, cloudy to occasionally cloudy today through tomorrow, with scattered light drizzle or snow in the extreme north today and tonight. Some light snow or rain mixed with snow over the state tomorrow. Mild today, cooler tonight and tomorrow. Highs today, 34 to 48 north, 56 to 58 south. Twin Cities, considerable cloudiness through tomorrow. Chance of showers mostly tonight and tomorrow. Continued mild today and tonight, cooler tomorrow. Southerly winds 10 to 20, diminishing late today. High today, 58. Low tonight, 40. High tomorrow, 45, and then down to 25 tomorrow night. Right now, it's 45 degrees. Wind south at 5. Humidity, 89%. Barometer, 29.84, and steady. And the sky is cloudy. We've been getting questions again about a deadline date for signing up on our Orient Tour. We've had several requests for the brochure yesterday asking about it. And again, we can't really give you a deadline date because we can only say that once they are filled, all the places are filled on the two tours, that's it, because we do have a limited number. When we plan this Orient Tour ahead of time, we make so many reservations in the hotels and so many reservations with the airlines flying from place to place and so on that we cannot take over the limit, and it's about 50 people on each trip. And already we are well over 25% filled now. And although I'm sure there'll be plenty of time yet before they'll all go, because a lot of people have to take time to decide, and a lot of people we've heard from who are getting together, children getting together, give their parents the gift for Christmas, and so on, and it takes a little time. I'm sure there'll be a good amount of time. I tell you what, when it does get over half filled or three quarters filled, then we'll tell you and let you know that now's the time to really get going. So you have time to think about it. But we do hope you'll be with us in flying Northwest Orient Airlines fan jets to the Orient next March or April.